This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast with over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 5 plus years in that games media combined. We thought we'd throw our hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join the PlayStation conversation, you can do so every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes and other podcast services. How do you join that conversation? Simply head over to www.thepopculturist.com/questions. Give us your questions, suggestions and topics for the show. If a week between shows is a bit too long, join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, links for those in the description below. And if you're feeling super generous, please consider heading over to patreon.com/thepopculturist. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you. Added that back in because you like it.
I do like that. Yeah. I like it's the hand stuff. Because when you do that spiel, I'm like, it's Anchorman. I'm like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah. I'll give you something.
And you give me something. And I'm like,
I thought I changed up a bit last week, but I think that one flowed pretty well.
Yeah, it does.
I think
how you been, man?
It's
been a pretty good week. I've enjoyed this week so far.
It's been a good week for games this week. I'm a little bit unwell at the moment, but I digress. Must persevere. The show must go on.
It means we can't make out in the episode, which is a real shame.
Well, we can.
But normally we go cut. So what have you been playing?
Played a fair bit this week, actually.
Yeah?
We played a bit of Stardew Valley at the start of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much left to do. I'm halfway through the second winter now. And during winter, like, nothing grows, obviously. So I took the time to...
Have the greenhouse yet, though?
Yeah, I got the greenhouse.
So you're potting away in there?
Yeah, got stuff in there. Okay. Got fruit trees and stuff in there. So I took the time to, like, remodel my whole farm, and the community center's done, and I've got to the bottom of the mine. So now I'm halfway through the second winter, and I'm like, what else can I do? Like, just during winter. During the rest of the year, it's fine, because I'm growing stuff. I'm pretty much a microbrewer at this point. I've got kegs all one side of the farm. I'm just like beer and wine.
Does it have to be awesome? Why don't you build the warehouse and put it all in the warehouse?
Because for aesthetic.
Okay. Yeah. You like the look.
The warehouse. I've got a warehouse in the brewery full of preservative jars. I'm making all my jams and stuff. Yeah. So it's all set, but I'm not growing anything at the moment to put in it all. So I just need to kind of power through the last 2 weeks and that'll be fine. Finished Shovel Knight last night.
Nice.
On the Switch, finally. Got it on PlayStation. I think about halfway through it got really hard. I was like, I had enough. But the Switch is fun. Was not prepared for that last like level / boss fight. Fuck me. Because you've played it, yeah? Not all of it, but you've played it somewhat. So you got...
The game beat the shit out of me. I'm not...
Yeah, well, so, you know, the game is... Each level is a different boss with its own theme. You know, it's the Order of No Quarter. Like, that's what the group is called. And you get right before the final boss and you hop into the next room and all the bosses are there. Every boss you've killed is in there. And you're like, oh, okay. And then you literally have to fight all 8 of them back to back with no breaks.
No health?
You get... Every fight, you get your health back. And every second fight, you get your mana back.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no checkpoints during it. So if you get to the 7th or the 8th and you die, you could fucking start that shit again.
That's brutal.
But I did it all on the first go. Finished the game after that. Fucking great. Looking forward to Spectre of Torment. And of course, we streamed WWE earlier this week.
Yes, we
did. WWE 2K18. It was fucking blast. It was
as I was saying earlier, man, like, that is by far the most fun I've had in a stream in a very long time.
Yeah, and, you know, the chat was into it. We looked awesome in the game. You know, it was very, very much us. It took a bit to get hang of the controls
because
we haven't played one of those games for so long. But once, towards the end, I was feeling it. I'm like, okay, I kind
of
know.
Yeah, when you beat the piss out of John Cena.
I smashed his face in. Felt good. Sorry, Gemma. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It was a lot of smack talk, which was really good. So a friend of mine from work, her son was watching. Because he sort of watches our stuff in the background. He's never really said anything about it. But he kept walking out going, this shit's fucking awesome. Like,
awesome.
He didn't say fucking because he's like 4'10", should have hit him. But like he apparently, he was nothing but giggling in the other room. He kept coming out going, and running back. And then
really?
Yeah, he said that That's it was awesome. Really fun for That's us to entertaining
yeah.
to
I'm
It's his birthday, I believe, this week.
Oh, happy birthday, whenever that day is.
It's Friday.
Name?
Liam.
Liam? Happy birthday, Liam. Thank you for watching us on the streams. But I'm keen to get back into it at some point.
Yeah, I'm thinking once, depending on how quickly we can get through this, so we give it a bell. But
not the way rushing.
Not the way rushing. It's just that if we can get this done,
yeah,
and then we can play it. And I'll give you a blanket, seeing you sick. We'll give you a blanket for the couch. You snuggle up.
Well, so whenever you end up being done and dusted with it, I want to take it home and do my career. Kind
yeah,
of thing
that's
as well.
My plan too. Like, I want to just go through the career because I want to.
Yeah.
Because Craig swears by it.
Yeah.
I remember
playing. Yeah, I remember playing. I don't know. It was a very. It must have been 7 or 8 years ago. The last one I bought. I remember doing my career, and it was a lot of fun. So I want to see how that's improved. And then, of course, the big game for the week is South Park: The Fractured Butthole, which we have both put a fair bit of time.
Yes, big thanks to Ubisoft Australia for sending us the code for South Park's The Fractured Butthole.
You've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah. Man.
Now, what's funny about this situation is that I've been meh. You know, I'll pick it up at some point if it's on sale, whatever. We got a code, and thankfully we can both play off that one code and whatnot. I've put in twice the amount of time as you have.
Well, yeah, you're unemployed.
I did work 2 days this week, but the days I wasn't, I did play for a good, you know, 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is, like, you always give me shit for not finishing games, but the thing is, like, you have the luxury of going fucking ham on games.
Yeah, I do.
Where, you know, I work and come home and look after my baby every day. And
I've done my time. Okay, I deserve this little.
Yeah, like,
little,
no,
little
like, I'm just saying,
you shouldn't.
Give me as much shit as what I'm saying.
No, I'm going to continue giving you shit.
So now that I don't have to edit as many videos, it kind of works to my advantage. But
yeah, I'm happy to help.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate taking that hit.
You've been waiting a long time. What are your, I guess, first impressions? I mean, you've put in about 5 hours.
Yeah.
Probably about 25% through.
Yeah, which
roughly.
Is more than I normally put in games, which is pretty kind of cool.
Yeah.
So for about just under 5 hours, I love it. It's great. It's like, it's everything that I wanted in terms of, like, all right, it's more South Park. It's core systems, its core mechanics are altered and upgraded. Yep. So they've clearly taken what worked here and they've amped it. Because that was my biggest concern. It's like, because I love The Stick of Truth. It's so good, and I think it laid a really good groundwork for what a South Park game should be.
Mm-hmm.
And this is more of the same. Like, the superhero stuff is fun. I kind of like the fantasy of Stick of Truth more. There was something about an innocence to it and how they were playing the game, and I liked that a lot. But the superhero stuff is still good.
Mm. Well, they've got a, you know, Stick of Truth was fun and it was fantasy. So you got, you like your fantasy, now you got your superheroes. The next one, there was a quote from Matt Stone in the interview saying he'd love to do an FPS in the South Park universe again. Like 64, South Park 64. I remember shooting turkeys or something in that game.
Yeah, cows.
Yeah, long time.
Peed on snowballs.
I'm finding it really enjoyable. I played like a 6 hour block, just straight, yeah. By the end of it, I was like, I need to step away for a little bit because it was all kind of getting very samey. You know, I get so many, like, it takes a lot for a video game to make me laugh actually out loud by myself on the couch, but South Park does it quite often through the main story. But I found when I put in a massive block of time at the same time, it did start to wear a little bit thin. It'd be like watching South Park for 7 hours straight. You know, by the end of it, it's like,
I have done
you
that, and it's fine.
I found the jokes went a bit thin, but then I turned it off and I hopped back in for a bit last night, and I was like, okay, this is
brand new again.
Yeah.
See, that's, I think that is the added benefit of me being able to play it in sort of small bursts. Like, I did a 2 hour stream on Tuesday, and I've done like a couple, you know, about 20 and a half hour blocks here and there. Like, I did 15 minutes before we came in here. The other night I got to about an hour's worth, so it was pretty good. So like, I'm noticing repeated lines in terms of like combat, you know, something as simple as like when you fight the sixth graders, it's like, you know, your boyfriend does that for you. I mean, like, there are a couple of little repeats if you sort of do some similar things.
Yeah.
But if you go and then go down the main story or any of the side quests, you see new things and it's great.
Yeah.
Like, I'm right now, probably my favorite part is by far the strip club.
Yeah.
The music's good. You know, the DJ joke still makes me laugh so fucking hard.
The music for the boss battle of the strip club was fucking amazing. That was really... Well, the music overall is very, very good.
Mm.
You know, when you're in the overworld, you do get that kind of Skyrim-y kind of music vibe. You know, it's kind of ambient. There's some horns and stuff. But the music is super high quality, and you could take any of those tracks and put them in an appropriate game and it wouldn't feel out of place. Like, if you,
except
if you,
for like the whole music when you're picking, like, dum, ba-dum, bum, bum,
oh, yeah.
ba-dum, 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 bum, bum.
And having and the theme song.
That'll be infinite if I just left it there. I love it.
And having
love
the theme, you know, you couldn't take Carl's mum is a big fat bitch and put it in another game. Somewhere. But yeah, the strip club boss fight was very like kind of cyberpunky and really kind of techno-y.
Yeah,
and,
like, that with like the little like sort of like porny noises in there.
And then, you know, the DJ jumping in every now and it's Esmeralda.
So like what I love though, because the big change in this compared to the previous is that the old fighting systems was straightforward. It was very linear. So these three people in a line, you can sort of get out of those lines, but it's very strict, very restricted. With this, it's grid-based. So you can move your characters around and sort of line it up so you could hit three people at once, yeah, if you sort of tweak it just right. Yeah. Which I like, but it's also sort of, it's restrictive, but it's more open. So I'm enjoying it compared
to... It is restrictive, but I think that's more... I'm not planning ahead. I'm just like, what am I going to do this turn? Well, this guy is going to hit him. I don't think about where they're going to land and how that affects whoever's next on the turn. Like, I don't think about any of that. I am playing it on easy just because I want to get through it. That's what I do now. I think, yeah, it is restrictive. There are times where it's a character's turn and I can't do anything because the grid is kind of fucked up, but it's because I fucked it up because I didn't plan ahead with it. So I think if you were playing on hard, you would have to pay more attention to where people are going to be after certain moves and all that, but on easy too.
So I'm on middle, I'm on medium, and I've yet to lose a fight.
Yeah.
But yeah, the reason I was pointing that out is because the great use of that is in the strip club sort of boss fight, where it's like a hallway rush where you have to make your way down a hallway and fight a bunch of strippers,
and then you
while being avoided by like a big stripper at the back,
giant stripper.
Yeah,
crush your head between my thighs.
Yeah, that's
it's Esmeralda.
Yeah, like the stripper calls are a start. It's like, it's not too late to get your GED. Here's enough for Destiny. You know what I mean? And then it's like, she'll literally put you in your asshole. It's Daphne. Like, you know, it's so good. It's like that humor. So as you're sort of making the whole idea is to get the hallway, take out the strippers while being chased, and I think that was really cool because you can only move like three blocks at once.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, I thought it was a really smart use of that system. Yeah. Now I've not found it that again since, all the other fights have sort of been somewhat similar, but now we're getting into, you know, grid fights with blockages in the way, and you know, now I've got the time fight mechanic, so
yeah. That expands as well later on. You know, you can do... There's quite a few different things you can do with your time fight. Other than South Park and WWE, have you played anything else this week?
No.
That's fine. Two games is more than one, as it usually is, right?
Yeah, no, well, normally it's one and then a little bit elsewhere. But, like, no, my plan is to get as far as I possibly can through South Park
Before
next week with Wolfenstein and, like, Assassin's Creed and Mario. PAX. And Mario. Because I do know Mario is coming next week. So that's good. Mm-hmm. I'll spend as much time with that as I possibly can before PAX as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Mario is Nintendo, and this is a PlayStation show as we transition into the segment Inform the Players.
This is where we tell you about all the good gaming and PlayStation news that came out this week.
7 bits of news this week. Yeah. Of varying length and importance. Number one. Sony has revealed a mini PS4 controller aimed at kids.
Just big.
I thought you were giving it a thumbs down. The official licensed peripheral dubbed the Mini Wired Gamepad was revealed in a post on PlayStation Blog where the full design of the fun-size gamepad is showcased. The controller is made by Hori, known for their fighting sticks and controller designs for a variety of platforms. The PS4 Mini Wired Gamepad is 40% smaller than the regular DualShock 4, sacrificing the standard controller's touchpad and light bar. Certain touch-based inputs will be simulated on the left and right analog sticks. Sony's product is aimed towards young children, allowing them to handle the controller with ease due to its smaller designs. The controller is wired with a 10-foot cable and will launch this holiday in the US and Canada for about $30-$40. So, I don't know. Like,
it's not for us.
It's not for us, but, you know, my son is 8 and he's been playing PlayStation since he was 3, and I can't recall a time where he was ever hindered by the size of the controller.
The big thing is the PS4 controller is noticeably bigger than the DualShock was, like the DualShock 3, I should say.
Yeah, true.
So they have reshaped it, and it is designed now better for bigger hands.
Mm.
So I can certainly see the appeal of it. Like my son, who's what, not even one yet. Like he plays, he's just learned how to press buttons.
Yeah, right.
So whenever I give him my phone, he's like activating Siri and shit. Like he'll just grab it and be like,
Siri, I'm hungry.
And it's like, bleh. And then Siri's like, what do you want? He's like, bleh.
Sorry, I can't help
you. Yeah, and then like, I'm like, all right, well, let's spin around the other way. Bink. I'm like, fuck, he knows how to press buttons there.
Yeah.
So I gave him the controller yesterday because whenever I'm playing games, he wants to play with the controller and he's just mash and circle.
Yeah.
You know, so like for him, as he grows, it'd be handy to have that because it looks kind of like the Wii controller.
Mm.
Not like not the Wiimote, but when they released the controller.
Yeah.
So it's kind of
It's pretty much, it's a rectangle that's
like, I'd say it's about this size. Big. But, you know, so like for us, it would just nothing but cramps. But
yeah, but and there's a, because it's a flat at the bottom, you know, we're used to having little handles that you hold on to, not there. But, you know, I'd love for you to get one for James so we can check it out at some point.
Yeah, so like it's certainly something I would consider, especially maybe not now, obviously, but like in the next couple of years. I think it's it could really be good for him in that way. Yeah. It's nice that they're sort of taking that into consideration.
Yeah. I mean, they've got 60 million plus units out in the wild now, and some of them are.
Well, 65,
I'd say, I think. I'd say a large majority of them are people with kids or, you know, you don't buy one for a console for a three-year-old, but as a parent with a console, kid wants to play as well. So, good work. Can we get some, like, a PS4 Pro controller now or something?
An Elite controller? An Elite? Like a big fancy pants controller?
That'd be nice. I'd buy it in a second.
Well, they do. They have, like, the Razer and...
Official.
Mag. They are, I mean, they are official. But you mean a PlayStation one.
PlayStation one. Yeah. Because the Xbox do it right. Like, the Xbox Elite controller is fucking awesome.
Because they keep bringing out a bunch of different colors. Like, this week they announced, was it Sunburst Orange or whatever?
Which is looks nice.
Looks dope. Looks
awesome.
No one pro controller, damn it.
Number two, just a quick one. We had some fun at EB Expo with Dragon Ball Fighter Z.
That was awesome.
A lot of fun. There was a small roster there, but they are adding two more characters.
Yeah, the only characters we saw there were, like, Goku, Vegeta, Trunks
Gohan, Frieza.
Boo.
Cell
and Android.
It's probably about
18.
eight or nine characters.
Wait,
or maybe
17. Which was the girl? 18.
Android 18 was the girl.
It was a girl, yeah.
But they are adding in Nappa, Vegeta's sidekick from the very first few episodes, and Captain Ginyu.
And the Ginyu Force. No one on the Ginyu Force yet?
No, the Ginyu Force is worked into Captain Ginyu's moves. So cool. I don't know. I just wanted to throw that in because this game
looks
rad.
Yeah, I'm totally in. Because I think we've also seen like Krillin and like those sort of side characters in there as well. Hey, Krillin's great. Apart from dying all the time, he's pretty good. I'm keen as F for that game. It came out like next year.
Yeah.
So I was really bad. Like when I started looking in details, I'm like, when's this one coming out? Like, I want to reach out to Bandai. And it's like next year. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, but props them for having like an early model for us to play at EB.
Yeah, that's the point. That's playable. I thought, man, this is going to come out in the like, next month or so.
And you think... You know, because it played well. It looked great.
Played really well.
Maybe a little bit going on at the same time sometimes. I couldn't understand what was going on. But that's just from jumping in and not knowing what's going on.
And that's the chaos of DBZ.
It is chaos of DBZ.
You know, I mean, like Street Fighter, you're not going to have that intense fight and teleporting and like blasting. It like, doesn't exist. So, you know, and contrary to previous... Oh, no, good Dragon Ball Z. But, you know, the 3D worlds, which kind of never really worked.
Yeah, yeah. It's still 2D. It's still 2D. It just changes camera angles sometimes. That's cool. A lot of fun. Can't wait for that.
Very nice.
Another game I can't wait for. Number three, CD Projekt Red is still hard at work on Cyberpunk 2077, according to a recent post on Twitter. Quote, Cyberpunk 2077 is progressing as planned. We are taking our time, the developer said in a statement. In this case, silence is the cost of making a great game. CD Projekt Red co-founder... Why is this changing? Mark Iwinski and studio head Adam Badowski made the joint statement. The studio also made comments in larger part due to concerns about staff morale being brought up on sites like Glassdoor, as reported by Polygon. The studio explained that it is committed to working hard and setting ambitious goals for itself, acknowledging that it takes a lot of time and effort to do so. So,
this statement came out of nowhere. Like, I had not heard anything. Like, I hadn't heard anyone going...
Probably...
Apart from outside, oh, when's that coming? Oh, okay, cool, yeah.
Oh, well, Cyberpunk 27, the first trailer came out of like 2013 or 2014. Yeah. So it would have been while The Witcher 3 was in development. Yeah. But the trailer was great, and you know, it's a very highly anticipated game. It'll be awesome to see what CDPR can do outside of The Witcher itself, because they are renowned for that. And I did watch the whole NoClip documentary series on it. It's fascinating stuff, absolutely fascinating. So it's a long time away. I'm going to say another 3 or 4 years plus, at least.
I'd say 2020 minimum.
2020, 2021. But then there was also the rumours from about 2 weeks ago that a lot of staff are leaving, and it's actually not a very good company to work for. You know, a lot of bad staff morale and bad management and yada, yada, yada. So they put out the generic PR statement is, you know, we work very hard and some people aren't really cut out for it.
Which is true.
Which is true. Totally and I true. Mean, you know, CDPR... like on the level of Naughty Dog in terms of size now. They've got 400 or 500 employees now. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a fair bit of turnover, and especially when it gets to crunch time for games, as we know and heard, crunch time is the not fun time. But Cyberpunk 27 looks rad, and I'm keen as, because there was a lot of concern that, because we haven't heard about it for like 5 years, that they've just kind of shuffed it away.
No, because like
not the case.
I've never had the concern that it was not being worked on. Like as far as I was aware, it was like, yeah, it was full steam ahead. They just doing what they're doing. Yeah. They're busy.
Yeah. What I'd love most from it is if there was a little, whether it was an Easter egg or not, because Ciri from The Witcher, she can travel between dimensions and all that kind of stuff. If she makes an appearance in Cyberpunk 2077.
That'd be weird.
Just popping in at me, whether it's an Easter egg or a mission or something, just seeing it, just be like, oh, fuck. Cool. What else is cool? Number four. We've got some VR updates for you. On the official PS blog, Sony showed off over 60 games coming later this year and into 2018, like Sony's own GT Sport. Moss, first shown during E3 2017, is also coming to PSVR at the end of this year.
Okay.
Had a chance to go hands-on with it. This is IGN. And turned out Moss was one of the most pleasantly surprising games of E3. Also coming in 2018 is the VR realization of Penn & Teller's famous desert bus as part of Penn & Teller VR. Frankly unfair, unkind, unnecessary, and underhanded.
I want the fuck out of that so bad.
If you're unfamiliar, desert bus requires you to drive a bus in real time from Tuscan, Arizona to LA.
You put Penn and Teller on it, I'm gonna buy it.
Did you know about it?
Nope.
That's why I threw it in there. Yeah. So I know you're a fan, so I thought
I don't know about that. That's fantastic. We should also mention as well, I don't think we mentioned it last week or the week before, because it would have been when we went EB Expo. Sony have also announced there is a newer model of the VR headset coming through, essentially like model 1.2, I guess. So it comes with a HDR supported breakout box, which right now it doesn't. So if you want to have your PlayStation running HDR, you have to unplug a bunch of dicking around cables. Now, it's not as simple as just replacing the box, because there's apparently new plugs, there's new cables, and the headset itself, the headphone plug, which was in the neck, in the cord, is now in the helm, in the hat itself, and you plug it in there. One, fucking, what the hell?
What do you mean?
Like, I want HDR. Like, that's why, you know, because the HDR was released and announced, like, just prior to the release of the headset.
Yeah.
So it's really clear that they were like, oh fuck, we should probably do something about HDR, right? It's just so poo. As an early adopter, it's totally poo.
What you get for,
but that's what I get.
What you get for being essentially a beta tester.
Yeah, literally, and that's fine.
A $600 beta tester.
Yeah, and like, will I rush out and trade my other one in? Probably not. I'm not gonna like fork out the extra money from the trade to get this new one. Which, you know, I would use it more often if I didn't have to dick around with cables, but it's such a minor inconvenience. I don't think that I would use that as an excuse. I just don't use
it. I think that's just a reasoning kind of thing. I don't think, until Penn and Teller comes out, obviously.
Yeah, look, there are always ones that jump out and catch my interest, and that will be one of them. And I'm probably, you know, and then hopefully, you know, we've got word that some of our community want us to stream some VRs,
yeah.
Spooks.
Yeah.
I even can play Spooky Game this week. I
think that's what we're going to do.
But yeah, like, plus with a little one, it's really tough. Yeah, but when Skyrim does come out, yeah, you know I'm in that.
Yeah, VR. Woo! Number six. It's a bit of a big one, a bit of a controversial one, but I'll read you this anyway. Activision has filed a patent for a microtransaction-driven system for matchmaking in multiplayer games. As reported by Glixel, the patent was filed back in 2015 and was officially granted to the publisher by the US Patent and Trademark Office on October 17th. Described as, quote, a system and method that drives microtransactions in multiplayer video games, the patent outlines a system in which players are matched together in such a way that it encourages the purchase of in-game content. For example, the system may match a more expert marquee player with a junior player to encourage the junior player to make game-related purchases of items possessed used by that marquee player, as though the newer player may wish to emulate the veteran players by purchasing the same weapons, gear, etc. they may have acquired. A fair bit more to it, which explains in a bit more detail. It's too long, I'm not going to read the entire thing. And in an update, Activision representative provided the following statement to IGN, quote, this was an exploratory patent filed in 2015 by an R&D team working independently from our game studios. It has not been implemented in any games. I'd say any games as yet. So, how do we feel about this?
So there's two parts to this. Well, the first part is the how they're looking at doing matchmaking. That part is fucking awesome. If you implement how, like, so that's sort of the idea of, you know, putting, you know, little people with bigger people, but sort of on the same teams, so they can sort of work with them and get better and learn from them. That is a much better matchmaking system. However, the whole
reasoning behind
the reasoning behind it is so dirty.
Yeah.
Stupid. Like, the whole idea of, you know, we'll matchmake with you someone with a better gun than you, and then you'll want to emulate and buy that gun. That is not an adult fucking system.
No.
That is a teenager child system.
Yeah.
Because I don't look at you and you're beating me and I'm like, no, I wish I had his gun.
It's like, he's played a lot more hours.
I'm like, man, that guy's played a lot more than me. Fuck
him. He's probably better than me.
Yeah, like, so that's clearly preying on a different market.
It's the difference between being a teen gamer and an adult gamer is normally, an adult gamer will, like, you know, die in a multiplayer game and go, and just think, they get mad, but think, I'm outskilled here. Like, yeah. I'm outplayed here. Whereas a teenager will go, fucking OP shit with this stupid OP gun. Nah, yeah, you know, go on from there.
I'm like, you know what, if I get that, like, oh, I can get that gun. Well, fuck this
I'll get it and I'll fuck shit up.
And then they're like, you've got that gun. So then they'll put you in a series of matches where that gun will...
disadvantage you.
No, it will put you at an advantage.
Oh, yeah.
As the whole idea is, they'll structure the matchmaking so you believe or you are tricked into thinking that your purchase decision was a good idea.
An example given was you're in a match, you get smashed by a sniper, you go and buy that sniper, and then matchmaking will put you in maps that give an advantage to sniper rifles. So you feel like you've made a good purchase and you've made, you know, and you've got your money's worth. Then it'll slowly filter you away from the sniper friendly maps into an assault rifle friendly map where you get smashed. So you buy an assault rifle and then you get put into assault rifle friendly maps and think you've made a good purchase. Like, that's not hyperbole. These are all the examples kind of given from the pattern itself.
It is very misleading.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't think it's devious salesmanship or anything like that. Like, there are some questionable ethics in this structure, but I do believe it's all within the legal bindings of sales.
Yeah, it is. You know, if it wasn't, then it probably wouldn't have gone through
as a
patent thing. But it is important to note for now, it is a patent. It's not in any games yet. Having said that, any future games released by Activision, people will be watching fucking hard for this shit. And, you know, is Activision too big for any blowout to cause them any real financial damage? I think so. Like, a lot of
people just do it and go,
yeah, they'll do it and put their fingers up and go, well, whatever,
yeah,
because, you know, they sell multi-million copies of various games throughout the year, so I don't think they really care too much. But
it's dirty,
it's underhanded, dirty, don't like it.
Part of it, like, this is the problem, right? There's this, like, they're implementing a system that would be incredibly helpful to the gaming industry and how games are played, and then they fuck with it.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see on that one.
Which is just a repeat of every practice that's pretty much happening at this point.
They did note that it's not a part of Destiny 2 at the moment either.
Oh, good.
Thank you. Number 7. Now, this post was found on NeoGAF by a user named Rosty. Quote from him, "This happened last month, but didn't see it until now. On September 18th, 2017, US serial number 87484513, Horizon Zero Dawn, The Frozen Wild, was met with a suspension notice due to a pending application, Frozen Wild by Huge Global Limited," there's multiple users in there, "precedes the filing date of Sony's application." So essentially, Sony have filed for the trademark for Horizon Zero Dawn, The Frozen Wild, as, you know, trademark for the name. But previously to that, before that, a mobile gaming company called Huge Global Limited have also applied for a trademark for their game, slot machine game, called Frozen Wild. So now there's... And, you know, the Frozen Wild is meant to be out in like 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
What?
They're fine.
Sony will just fucking throw a whole bunch of money. Fine.
They'll just fuck off the guy.
Well, yeah. It seems like I don't really understand... Because it's not, they're not trademarking The Frozen Wilds. They're trademarking Horizon Zero Dawn, The Frozen Wilds as a whole, yeah?
Correct.
That's on the PlayStation Store. Frozen Wild by Huge Global is only on the App Store. So any potential
See, trademarks, the way it works is, so we could have the trademark for the pop culturists, which means anybody else that makes online entertainment content under the name the pop culturists, we could slap them with a trademark infringement because they are doing what we do using the same name that we do. Now, we know there are other podcasts in the US called the pop culturists. No one here is good, so don't find them. But
please don't look.
We can't do anything. One, it's international as one.
I don't really see where the confusion is.
But the point I'm making is because they are both within the same industry, that's the conflict, is they're both making games.
Yeah, but we got The Frozen Wilds on the PlayStation Store and then Frozen Wild on the app.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if, like, if Sony contest it, which they probably will, they'll be like, the fuck? And they'll be like, yeah, it's a good point. And then
Yeah, or Sony would just go, fucking, here's some cash. Just.
Like, there's no, like, the guy, if he's, so the thing is he contesting them using the Frozen Wilds, or was there or the idea is he applied for the Frozen Wild?
He hasn't said anything.
Yeah.
The guy, from Huge Global Limited hasn't said anything about it. It's just the trademarking institution or whatever they are has picked up, Sony have applied for this patent, but trademark. But before, this guy has applied. So now there's kind of a gridlock on it at the moment while they kind of figure it out.
So imagine they've had the trademark for Frozen Wilds for a while. So this is kind of interesting. It's come out
but
now.
This guy had it
Which means before. It may already be sorted.
Possibly. Maybe that's why we haven't heard anything about it. I thought it was interesting. Bit scary because it's very close to release for the
game. I have no concern.
It'll be fine. We're going to get Horizon Zero Dawn the Frozen Wild with a Z.
Wilds, yeah.
Wild Z. It's cool to add Z to stuff now. Last bit of news for the week. Top selling games for the week ending 15th of October 2017. Starting at number 10, Uncharted The Lost Legacy. Number 9, Project Cars 2. Number 8, Destiny 2. Number 7, GTA 5. Number 6, Crash Insane Trilogy. Number 5, WWE 2K18. Number 4, NBA 2K18. Number 3, The Evil Within 2. Number 2, FIFA 18. And number 1, Shadow of War. Middle Earth Shadow of War.
Cool.
It's a very... very refreshed list.
Yeah, it's nice to see Evil Within in there. Obviously, Shadow of War is going to be a big one.
Yeah.
WWE, good place.
Yeah.
Project Cars 2, hold on.
All of that and GTA 5 still in there.
Yeah, my point still stands. Australia buy about 10 copies of 10 games a week.
Nah.
And then one of them just happens to be Shadow of War.
Four of the 10 games are sports games.
Yeah.
Congrats, sports fans.
I like sports games.
That's it for the news.
All right, cool. This is where we're heading to the main topic of conversation, when we just kind of pick something we want to dive into a little bit deeper. Still yet to have a name. Main topic.
So, as you may or may not have heard earlier this week, EA have announced that they are closing Visceral Studios and moving their unnamed single-player Star Wars game to various brands.
The term it was called the Visceral Star Wars Project.
So they've moved development of that game to EA Vancouver and EA Worldwide Studios. So I'll just read you a little bit about it right now. EA has announced that the Amy Hennig-directed Visceral Star Wars title will be refocused and developed by other EA studios while Visceral Games closes down. EA Vice President of EA Patrick Soderlund announced in an EA blog post that Visceral's linear, story-based action-adventure game, no arcade, will now be developed across EA's Worldwide Studios with EA Vancouver leading production. Instead of making that linear story-based game, the title will be reshaped to, quote, be a broader experience that allows for more variety and player agency, leaning into the capabilities of our Frostbite engine and reimagining central elements of the game to give players Star Wars adventures of greater depth and breadth to explore. In an update to that article, EA responded to IGN's request for comment in regards to Hennig's standing with the project, saying the company is in discussion with Amy about her next move. As for how much of the already completed development will carry over, an EA spokesperson said, "We will be continuing to use a great deal of the work that has been done to date. The assets of the game that has already been built will be the foundation of the new game." Despite the move away from story-based linear game, Soderlund says, "We will maintain the stunning visuals, authenticity in the Star Wars universe, and focus on bringing Star Wars story to life." So,
I'll let you go first.
Another one bites the dust from EA. Here's a list. I had a list of companies that studios that EA has closed over the years. Some bigger than others, but anyway. Mythic, Origin, Bullfrog, Westwood, DreamWorks, Phenomic, Black Box, Pandemic, Playfish, New FX, and now Visceral. So that's 11 studios. Now I get... Okay. Three different ways I want to approach this, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The first question I want to ask is the cynical one. Is this because EA decided there wasn't a good way to put microtransactions in this game because it's a single-player game, and now they've focus-tested it, and now they're like, we're going to add in some multiplayer things and so we can put some loot boxes in there and put in some microtransactions in there? Do you think that could be a reason
no.
for that? You don't think so?
No. I think it's potential. Mm. Now that they're reshaping it, they will use that to their advantage, but I certainly do not think that was the decision.
Do you think EA... I feel like I'm interviewing now. Do you think EA see no ability to capture extra money in single player games? Are EA losing do EA have a lack of faith in big single player linear stories?
No, I think there is an issue at the moment. Like The biggest problem that, as a business side of things, is when it comes to single player games, is you get money once. Unless you make expansions, you get money once and period. Mm. And, you know, we are seeing a decline in single player games popularity, but the big examples people use are Dishonored 2, Evil Within 2, Mirror's Edge, Catalyst, you know, now, like there's all these games that, like, they thought were going to do really well, but didn't. You know why? Because these are all sequels to games that were cult fans. Yeah, yeah. Like, they weren't big games to begin with, so the sequels aren't going to be much bigger.
Then you can look at games like Uncharted, The Last of Us, The Witcher, Horizon, all games that were single player and did fucking awesome.
Exactly. So single player games do have a place when they're good. Mm. And I do, I was hoping this was to be good. What my belief is that brought the studio down is Amy Hennig.
How so?
She got kicked out of Uncharted for a reason, you know, because they weren't meeting deadlines. They weren't meeting milestones. Mm. I think she was someone that had a great ambition and scope, which is fantastic.
Yep.
But I do feel like I remember somewhere saying as well, because I've been reading the Jason Schreier book, Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, really fucking good, and talks about how Hennig, what that game was going to be. And that was the biggest issue. They weren't meeting what they needed to do. And
even if that was the case, they have said they're changing it from a single player linear story game to presumably a multiplayer.
You know why? To make money.
Exactly.
No, because like they've invested a fuck ton of money in what this game already is, right? So they're at a place now where they've gone, fuck, we, like, you know, we're X amount of million dollars. I don't know the answer. Like, there are X amount of million dollars in this game and it's not hitting anything.
Mm.
Like, this game's going to take another 4 years and it's going to cost X amount of money. Whereas no way we're making money back. All right, let's pivot it to same basis, same basic game, but when it make, if we, you know, if we make it a games as a service, we should be able to recoup most of the money back.
Fuck that.
Oh, I agree.
Fuck that.
Oh, I agree completely. Like, I wanted a really good single player.
It essentially
Star Wars
means
game.
you have a because a writer who was on the project on the Visceral Star Wars project had an interview with IGN and he said the game was shaping up to be an Uncharted style game where, you know, you got these awesome experiences, really deep characters, you know, and as a meh Star Wars fan, that sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah, it does.
It seems like, you know, you got EA moving away from single player games, and you got Activision moving away from single player games. You know, Bethesda are still in it. You know, you got Bethesda are all single player games, I think. Am I right with that?
Apart from ESO.
Oh yeah,
and Quake Champions.
Oh yeah, you know, Sony always going hard on single player games. We've had like 10 this year that are rated 90 plus on Metacritic. Mm-hmm. That's fucking insane. Microsoft, who knows what the fuck they're doing? And Nintendo.
Yeah, but the thing is that you're making good points here that these games are doing well, they're scored well, but they're not making, you know, big numbers. Like, they're making sales, but, you know, we're talking like Uncharted 4, right? The best selling PS4 exclusive made what, like 4 million copies, something like that. But I think maybe slightly higher. FIFA, like 15 million copies.
I get that.
Like, that's a big difference, especially when you're a big company. That's like, don't get me wrong, I'm playing devil's advocate here because I fucking wanted this game. I love Star Wars, and if you can give me a single player Star Wars game that kicks fucking ass, I want it. Mm. I want it bad. But like, I'm looking at this from a different aspect. Like, no one pulls the plug out of a potentially $1 million project easily.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is it would have made money, just not as much money as they want.
Well, I think it'd be the other way. I think it's more of like the scale bound situation, right? This game was not shaping up to where it needed to be. Mm. So it would actually, even if they were to sell that game, they would not make back the money that they lost.
Mm.
And I think that's what they had to do with Visceral. They looked at it and they're like, this is not making the money that I thought that we needed it. Like, think about all the times they make a movie, right? And the movie does not make, like, as long as it makes what it costs to make it, then everything's good.
But then why go as hard as shut the whole studio down? Like Visceral made,
it would have to be such a mess behind the scenes.
Yeah, but the thing is, with the whole Visceral studio itself, you know, they made Dead Space, fucking phenomenal game, one of the best.
I haven't played it, but I hear
one of the best and scariest third party horror games I've played in my entire life. Yeah, one and two, critically acclaimed, fucking amazing games. Yeah, and then they bring out number three, and what do you see with that? Microtransactions, because EA have and gone, you know, put all this in. And number three flopped fucking hard because of microtransactions. And now, so it's like EA have just signed their death wish from Dead Space 3. Because they're doing just fine on their own.
Yeah, but think about it. Like, Sony have done the exact same thing with Guerrilla Cambridge. They were put into a place where they were destined to be shut down. Like, they made really cool games, then they gave them VR games, like, oh, the VR games didn't do so well. Here's another, you know, make another game that we've designed, that we've already know won't do well. Ah, it didn't do well again.
But you know, it's one of those. Dead Space was fine on its own, selling so many copies, making all the money, and then EA are like, let's try to get a bit more money out of it.
But the real, this is the studio, Visceral as a studio. The amount of the bunch of the big people that made Dead Space so fucking good don't work there anymore. They run Sledgehammer Games now. You know what I mean? Like, they left. So Visceral, as we know Visceral to be back in the day, isn't the same Visceral. And then you having some having someone come in to lead that studio who then... Amy Hennig has done incredible shit. Like, those first Uncharteds, love them. They helped shape what Uncharted is, which make the incredible franchise that it is. But, you know, you don't blame the person at the top, but they certainly play a massive role in how something goes down.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I guess my biggest concern from all of this is that it proves that no studio is safe.
Yeah.
And I think we do have a reason to be worried for BioWare.
100%. It is literally a horrible, sort of precedent is what I'm looking for. It's a precedent of what can happen.
Doesn't matter how good you are here. It only takes 3 or 4 years and EA can shut you down just like that.
Yeah, but this is, you know, it is a concern for any studio that was to, you know, I think I heard something like that. You know, any studio that is looking to be purchased by EA, I would very much reconsider that or think very heavily.
Don't do that.
Like, but BioWare could be in the exact same place.
Exactly, and that's fucking horrifying.
Yeah, so once again, the BioWare that we know and love It's not that studio.
But the name still carries so much weight.
The name does carry weight. You know, and EA used to carry weight once.
Not anymore.
Fuck you know, but like changes happen over time. And as a result, like if Anthem doesn't perform, I think BioWare will be 100% at risk.
Well, they've still got, is it Biomutant? BioWare working on?
Was that Biomutant? May have been. I don't remember.
Biomutant, something like that. The game looks pretty cool. But. You know, obviously, we're way past Mass Effect being a thing anymore, at least for a very, very long time. That studio that made Mass Effect Andromeda was merged.
So they were given the chance to do it, and then they were like, they were absorbed. So rather than closing, they were absorbed. You see, it's one of those things like if the studio is open for one purpose, right? They did say that they would try to put people into new positions in EA if they can.
Of course they said that.
But you know, but there is like 200 or 300 people and they're like, we're canceling the project. Happens all the time. They got made redundant.
Yeah. But I think Mass Effect Andromeda was destined to fail from the start because a lot of, you know, obviously all the devs from Mass Effect 1, 2 and 3 aren't there anymore. Mm-hmm. They've moved on. And then the majority of the team, this is just what I've read online from interviews with people and stuff, it was their first game project. And to give them one of the most renowned series ever and say, make it good to live up to people's expectations. And then you got these new kids in there, like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, they're just doomed to fail from the start. And it seems to be, like, EA's kind of thing. Is just, instead of just going,
but
shut
you down.
It's not
just EA.
I know it's not just EA, but this is the recent example, yeah? Like, setting studios up to be shut down eventually.
Yeah, but I don't think they... Because the EA gave Visceral something huge. Star Wars is a property you don't fuck around with. You know what I mean? Because Star Wars fans are big and they are loud and, you know what I mean? Like, you don't go... Because right now, they've got Battlefront. They've got, like... there's another one as well. Who's
DICE
making it?
DICE?
DICE made Battlefront.
Someone else is making a Star Wars game. I forgot the studio's name. single
respawn. Yeah, the guys that did Titanfall. Yeah, so like they've, you know, they're making this type of game. They're making this type of game. They're making this type of, so like they put eggs in their basket. So this is not a concern of, well, oh, we'll give you a side project so we can shut you down.
No, no, like, I get that.
So the point, like the point I'm making is by them shutting them down and essentially removing and reshuffling everything, it must have been chaos.
We'll find out eventually. But what I mean, too, is though, you know, you had DICE doing the multiplayer Star Wars, you had Respawn doing whatever they're doing, then you had Visceral doing the single player Star Wars. But now Battlefront 2 is multiplayer, and so we've heard, a very, very good campaign. So well, then what are they doing?
No one's had hands on the campaign yet. So
this is just reports that I've read online. Well, the campaign's meant to be good.
Well, yeah, the reports probably from inside.
Yeah, from the inside reports. Yeah, source says.
Yeah.
But then, like, are we going to be bleeding territories now? Because you got, like, I don't know what they're going to do with this to make it so different from what anything Battlefront is giving, to make it even worth having out at all without it just kind of crossing over and kind of doing the same thing.
Once again, like, the this is, you know, what's his name? Patrick Sutherland. Like, he's up there, big dude. Like, and he used...
He's an executive vice president.
He used a lot of buzzwords. Oh, yeah. You know, and those buzzwords is what thrown us. So... He's not, like, you know, granted, he's not down there making the game. He's overseeing everything. And even, you know, I work in a giant corporation. The if we had a Patrick Sutherland, he'd fucking have no idea what I do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's like, well, we're going to try pivot the game in this direction. But, like, the creative do still have some control. Because if they can still take what's left of this game and make it better or, you know, or rebuild it, then they may not head down that direction. Like, we are, you know... Games media, games, in whatever the hell we are, and whatever the hell the other YouTubers are, is we go straight to the 10th degree, like the 11th degree. Like, we go, this is the fucking worst. And like, it's certainly still horrible. There's a ton of people out of jobs, but I think there'd have to be something salvageable out of that, right?
Well, the assets, according to EA.
Yeah, but they could also be scratching it, you know what I mean? Like,
well, he said in the quote here, you know, we're going to be take most of the assets will be the base for what we're going to be building going forward. It just sucks. I hate seeing studios close. I hate seeing big name studios close. I hate watching a studio that used to carry so much weight just end up in the trash pile. And it's just worrying for any studio under the EA label, even the Activision label. It's just worrying that, you know, these studios you know and love so much, like you wake up one morning, they're gone. And they're gone. And because it is the early days of the story, we don't obviously know any of the details or anything, but it will be fascinating to kind of learn about it as time goes on, as, you know, different people who eventually get let go come out and say some things.
I would imagine, because I know that Amy Henning had signed a non-NDA, a non-disparaging agreement, so she actively can't say anything bad about her time at Naughty Dog. And I imagine they'd make her sign the same thing. So we'll never truly get the real story.
I think we will eventually. Not from her, but there's going to be enough people let go from here that some people are going to come out and say some things. Now, whether you can take it with a grain of salt or not, because they're just pissed off fired employees.
Yeah.
But over the years, there will be stuff coming out. It'll be fascinating.
Look, there will be stuff come out. I would love to see the big behind the scenes of this.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fantastic. Yeah. But
no clip, get on it.
Yeah, so that would be fantastic. I said, keep an eye on Jason Schreier. He broke this story. He knows stuff, and I think over time he will continually
that dude
drop
has
more.
The most information in the industry.
He is probably the most genuine investigative journalist in games in games media, and like he is a genuine importance
unbiased.
And treasure to what this industry has.
Yeah. And you could say, you know, the only other person in that category of, I guess, investigative journalism is Jim Sterling, but I consider him not very, but he's quite biased on
he
a lot of
things. He has his agenda.
Yeah, he's got
whether
his agenda.
Be good, like, I personally agree with his agenda.
Yeah,
I personally
me too.
Like what
For
he has
sure.
to say. But compared to, say, Jason Schreier, facts.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what he works on. Yeah. I'm just having to do a quick check of the questions. I know we did have a question on the Facebook page, but I just want to check.
What do you think about Visceral being shut down? Are you saddened? Did you see it coming? What do you think about EA? What do you think about the Star Wars game that we'll never see in its current form? You know, please drop a comment and let us know, because even though I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan, I'm still quite upset. Having said that, whatever game eventually comes out from this, I'm sure will be pretty fucking good anyway.
Yeah, all right. Nothing on the website. No, it's on the Facebook. Hey, that was good. That was good bait. I enjoyed that a lot, actually.
I just don't know how to fill in time while you...
Yeah, tell us about things. How's life?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, it's your post. Like, you should be able to find it.
I don't think there was anything said on that post.
My buddy Reese dropped something, and I can't remember what it was. Because he messaged me about it. He's like, hey, heads up, I'm giving you a big question. I'm like, fuck yeah. Oh, here it is.
A big one.
He asks, little side off the topic, but EA related. Do you guys reckon EA profits more from game sales, retail or digital, or from in-game transactions and DLC? I'm part of a Football Australian Facebook group and have seen people drop hundreds of dollars on the FIFA Ultimate Team format here, let alone in the UK where football is much bigger.
I guess it depends. Thank you. It depends game to game, but it depends what time period you're looking at. You know, for the first 6 months, the most money will come from the game sales. But over the course of, depending on the longevity of the game, 1, 2, 3 years, once the game is dead, like once the game is finished for whatever reason, there will be more money from microtransactions by a large mile, because you know. It averages out. You got some people that buy the game and spend no money on it, and then you got the people that buy the game and spend all the money on it.
The whales.
The whales. Mm. Where'd that term come from?
That's what they're called. The term is whale. The biggest when it comes to gambling profits, right? The big hunk of gambling profits comes from 5% of the players.
Mm.
People that come in and go fucking hard. Yeah. Same as app money, right? App money is the exact same thing. It's like that we talked about before, like the preying on the people that are more prone and more prominent to do gamble.
Because it is gambling, yeah. ESRB.
You know what I mean? So that's what they're relying on. They're relying on that. So as an example, Reese, like Activision made $3.5 billion last year. Billion.
Mm-hmm.
On DLC and micro transactions. So compared to what EA, I don't think they've released any specific numbers, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's a fuck ton of money.
Yeah, and...
And I kind of think that may be equal to or slightly more than game sales.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing with it is as much as we all piss and moan about loot boxes and microtransactions, proof's in the pudding, they work. And as long as they keep making money hand over fist, they're going to continue to be in the games. Mm. And for a lot of the games, you know, Overwatch, guaranteed, as many million copies as the game has sold, they'll have made more money off the purchase of loot boxes in that game.
Yeah, so when I mentioned Activision, it's Activision and Blizzard, so like, makes sense.
Yeah.
But like, that is $3.5 billion they wouldn't have made 3 years ago.
Exactly. And, you know,
so it makes perfect sense why they wouldn't do it.
Blizzard started it in a way... probably 5, 6, 7 years ago now with World of Warcraft, where there's no microtransactions in World of Warcraft, but if you want to change your character's server, that's $15. If you want to change your character's name, that's $10. If you want to transfer your whole guild over to a new server, $100. Look at these little pets you can buy, $15 each, they'll follow you around in-game. You know, Blizzard, in a way, did start everything with this, with initially... the cost of the server transfers and all of that kind of stuff. Want to play with your friends on that server? Well, you know, $15, we'll put your character on that server. We'll take him out of this folder, put him in that folder. I'm sure there's more to it than that. And then the eventual adding in of cosmetic mounts, gear and pets. You know, so all of Blizzard's games, bar Diablo 3 and StarCraft, have some form of microtransactions in them. And Blizzard's games sell... millions upon millions of copies. You know, I think World of Warcraft, 10 years down the track, or 13 years, how long's that game been out for? About 15 years down the track, still has 6 million players paying $15.
That's active players,
$15 a month. And it peaked at like 15 million people paying $15 a month for that game.
Mm.
And, you know, it's no wonder Activision being paired with Blizzard make that much money off DLC microtransactions, because Blizzard are the kings of it.
Mm.
You know, and as endearing as Blizzard are to the heart as a company, they're still the ones that in my opinion, started everything.
Yeah, but like, you know, their intentions weren't...
Their intentions were pure, yeah. And I don't believe Blizzard do it with any kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Immorality or malice to the consumers. But I'm sure, you know, when you've got 6 million people playing WoW, you can only imagine the server load and how much money it takes to upkeep all of that.
Mm.
So sure, you know, you got 6 million people paying $15 a month, but they're not pocketing all that money. They'd have so much money on upkeep for the Overwatch servers, Blizzard servers, Diablo. They're on StarCraft, every single one of their games. Hearthstone is fucking huge. Not to mention buying card packs in Hearthstone as well. Like, it's no wonder Activision are just like, microtransactions are the fucking best thing in the world.
So the answer is, Reese, I think it's highly likely that they make more money.
I think it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
Be it company to company basis, but more often than not, more money comes from all that stuff. So
before we jump into the drop, if you want to ask questions, head over to popcultures.com/questions, drop it down there, and we'll pull it out in the next episode. But, you know, let's talk about games that are coming to you this week. In a section called Coming to the Play.
New releases for the week of October 24, 2017 on the PlayStation Store. I'll go down the list. You stop me when you want to talk about something.
Coolio.
AER, Memories of Old, PS4 Digital. Did you put your hand out for me to stop?
I was flicking gross skin off my face.
Oh, okay. I was like, what? Assassin's Creed Origins, PS4 Digital and Retail.
That's got interest. Now, an example is James, one of the members of our community. He's so keen for this, like stupidly keen.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, I'm buying a collector edition on Friday morning. Do you want to do an unboxing? The
$5,000 one?
The big fuck off one. And I'm like, we're at PAX, man. He's like, oh. I'm like, do you want to do a Friday night? He's like, I'm working. I'm like, motherfucker.
No unboxing then.
I want to unbox the shit out of that because, like, I would love to see what it's got. But I am interested in this, like, bad. Mm. You know, what I played at EB Expo didn't do it for me, but I think they just a bad point to demo.
Yeah, well, what I've heard since then is that the game is more, the comparison was Witchery than anything else, where it is, go and fucking do what you want. The main story's here when you want to do it. Yeah. Otherwise, just go. Now, whether the world is filled with interesting things to do like The Witcher is remains to be seen. But we'll see if the two-year hiatus has done any good. Because I reckon if...
I think it'll be about 80% the same and that 20%
different. I think if Origins doesn't do so well, Assassin's Creed may be on the chopping block.
Maybe on the way of Mass Effect.
Mm. Deer Hunter Reloaded, PS4 Digital and Retail. Fishing Master, PSVR Digital. Fort Defense, North Menace, PS4 Digital. Hidden Agenda, PS4 Digital and Retail. Now, this game is made by the Until Dawn team.
Yeah, Supermassive. And it is another one of the Playlink games.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm keen as F. I should probably email PlayStation.
Little blurb about it is blending the best elements of movies and games. This story-based adventure drops you into a tale rife with chilling moral dilemmas.
Yeah. I'm going to email PlayStation when we're done here. Sweet. So I forgot about that.
The Inner World, The Last Wind Monk, PS4 Digital and Retail. Just Dance 2018, PS4 Digital and Retail. I might get this.
For the kiddies?
And for me.
Oh, you have good fun?
Get fit. No, I remember last Just Dance I had, I think it was 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And me and the kids had a fucking great time with it. Say what you will about it, but when you've got it and you're playing it, you know, the kids are laughing and having fun because I look like a fucking idiot. But it's fun, yeah? So I might just pick it up at some point. Knowledge is Power, PS4 Digital and Retail.
No, I thought that maybe the Playlink one as well, but I think it is.
Little Nightmares, Complete Edition, PS4 Retail. Good to see. Good to see this little indie horror game doing well for itself.
Getting its physical... that edition is available on digital, but it is hitting retail stores, which is fantastic.
Mahjong Royal Towers, PS4 Digital. The Mummy Demastered, PS4 Digital. Yeah, boy.
Read that out to me.
A powerful ancient evil has arisen and the war to save humanity has begun. The Mummy Demastered throws you into a 16-bit inspired battle against the undead in a 2D non-linear action-packed adventure. Now,
so it's a license from the Mummy movie that just
it
came
is,
out.
But it doesn't seem to be tied to it at all.
Except for that chick.
Thankfully. The gameplay looks rad, man. I mean, say what you will about 2D indie platformers, but this looks awesome. The music is awesome. It seems really kind of dark and like legit horror-y. Mm-hmm. Roguelike-ish, Castlevania-ish. You got all these cool weapons and shit, and there's like big fucked up creatures that you're fighting. I want you to watch the trailer because I reckon it looks great. Having said that, it is also coming to Switch next week, which is where I'll probably buy it. Nightmare Boy, PS4 Digital. Knights of Azure 2, Bride of the New Moon, PS4 Digital and Retail. Numenasha, PS4 Digital. Rapala Fishing Pro Series. We've got two fishing games this week. PS4 Digital and Retail. Rugby 18, PS4 Digital and Retail. SingStar Celebration, PS4 Retail.
It looks like a blown up goon bag on the front.
It is. Oh, I was going to say it actually is, but no, it's a balloon. It looks like a green bag.
Looks like a green bag.
Slay Away Camp, The Butchers, recut PS4 digital. Stunt Kite Masters, PS4 VR, PSVR digital. That's you, PS4
Yay,
retail.
Playlink.
Game must be doing pretty well.
Yeah, it's been doing alright.
It's popping up every now and then.
I believe it was free on PlayStation Plus until I guess now. So have a quick check. Might still be available for free on PlayStation
Plus.
I'm pretty
sure it ended like last week.
Bummer.
We Sing Pop. Two singing games this week too, PS4 digital and retail. Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, PS4 digital and retail, out on the 27th of October.
Keen as F.
Blurb, fight the Nazis in iconic American locations, equip an arsenal of badass guns, and unleash your new abilities to blast your way through the legions of Nazi soldiers in this definitive first-person shooter.
Keen as F.
Kind of wish I was.
That's sad.
Because I didn't make it through the first one. But, you know.
But, yeah, what I played at EB Expo, I'm totally in.
Totally cool. It did seem cool.
Yeah,
just being in this wheelchair, just fucking people up.
Yeah, so I've reached out to Bethesda as well to see what we can do. Now, they will have a prominent booth at PAX, and our buddy Ethan over at Technology and Gaming will have his Wolfenstein 2 PC build there on display.
Keen as
I hear it looks fucking amazing.
Yeah.
We haven't seen it yet. He's had to keep it under lock and key.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you're doing licensed stuff, you know, you put it out when they let you put it out.
But we will be obviously chatting to him and checking that out when we're over there.
Checking out hopefully quite a few of the builds. He said he'll have, what, 12, 13 builds there?
Yeah, about something like that.
Something ridiculous.
Something crazy.
Keen as master.
I know there is a Wolfenstein 2 launch event on the Thursday before PAX.
It's right during the Sea of Thieves.
We're off to play Sea of Thieves. So
you are.
Yeah, me and Dave. And
final game for the week, Yomiwari Midnight of Shadows, PS4, PS Vita digital. One game of this week on the Vita. It's every week. It's just a little bit less.
For me, it's funny. Like, I've actually kind of gone, nah, the Vita's dead to me.
Yeah, well, yeah, me too. Since I've found a reason to actually invest into the Switch now, you know, with Stardew and Shovel Knight and, you know, the Mummy Demastered coming next week.
And this is the police on there, which is very tempting.
Yeah,
so
it's not for $40, but not for $40, it's not. But yeah, the Vita, I pick it up and it feels clunky, it feels old, it feels fat, the screen's shit in comparison.
It's a good screen.
It's still a good screen. Is a good screen, but in comparison to the Switch.
But when you look at the Switch and it's huge and
it's like crisp and sorry, Vita, but I can't. Only reason for me to keep it is if I want to replay Persona 4 Golden. Unless they bring that shit over to the PlayStation Store.
I do
want to
finish Golden Abyss, though.
Nah, who gives a shit? As if you will ever, of all the games in the world, you'll get back to
it. Yeah, but
it's
much shorter, you know, it's a couple of hours.
Then you would have finished it by now if you wanted to.
Good point. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the show. You?
Ashmiel. If you liked that PlayStation conversation, you can join in many more every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes, and other podcast services. If you want to join in the conversation, head over to www.thepopculturist.com/questions. Give us your questions, topics, and suggestions for the show. If a week between shows is too long, join us on Facebook, join us on Discord. Links for all that in the description below. And if you're feeling generous, please head over to patreon.com/thepopculturist. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Hornis.
And that was for the players.